Welcome to today's episode of Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. If you've ever been inside of a data center, you'll know that they're very loud. Loud enough to cause hearing loss over time. But that's not from the sound of data moving around the wires, of course. All those server racks create a ton of heat, and the sound comes from the fans that are trying to keep the racks cool. Small fans, big fans, overhead fans, underfloor fans, AC systems, etc. And all those fans, all that cooling, takes a ton of power, which at scale is quite expensive. So for years, companies who operate data centers have been trying to figure out how to set up a system that doesn't need traditional cooling. Largely, this has meant trying to put data centers in very, very cold places. Data centers in the Arctic, data centers under the sea, data centers in space, or in the case we're studying today, data centers in the Earth's stratosphere. Obviously, putting data centers in such exotic locations are going to have a host of issues, but today we're going to focus on just one of them. For data centers located in the stratosphere, the stratospheric gravity waves, SGWs, and sudden stratospheric warmings, SSWs, will make TCP much less reliable, causing packet loss that corrupts data and slows down throughput. That's why one author, A.A. Periola from Cape Peninsula University of Technology in Cape Town, is suggesting a new variant of TCP. They're calling it TCP Stratos, and it's designed to give the functionality of TCP while overcoming the gravity waves and warmings. Before we dive in, let's get some of our terms straight. Specifically, what is the stratosphere? You might assume that stratosphere is space, or you might assume that the stratosphere is way up there. Maybe it's where satellites orbit, or where the International Space Station is. It's not. It's way closer. Here's a rough approximation of the layers of our atmosphere. The atmosphere, recall, is the whole thing, all the area surrounding the Earth, and it's divided into layers. As you move away from the Earth's crust, the layers go troposphere, that is from the ground to 4 to 12 miles up. This is where most weather happens. Smaller planes fly here, commercial airlines pass through here on their way to cruising altitude and on their way back down. Then you have the stratosphere, and that goes from the top of the troposphere to about 31 miles up. When a commercial airliner reaches its cruising altitude, it's normally in the bottom of the stratosphere. Why? Because at that height, most of the weather is happening below them. You know, you're looking down on the clouds when you're up that high. So the pilots don't have to worry about the weather, and the air is much thinner, which creates less drag. Weather balloons, supersonic jets, etc., they're all in that layer. Then it's the mesosphere, which is up to 53 miles up. That's the layer that meteors burn up in. Some high-altitude balloons and research rockets are up there too. Then you've got two more layers, the thermosphere, up to 300 to 600 miles up, and the exosphere, up to 6,000 miles up. The northern lights happen in these layers, satellites orbit in these layers, the International Space Station is in these layers, and after the exosphere, it's just outer space. Okay, back to what we were talking about. Companies wanting to put data centers in the stratosphere. That layer, where weather balloons float and airliners reach cruising altitude, they want to do that because it's the combination of cold, around negative 15 Celsius to negative 50 Celsius, and not actually that far away. For line-of-sight communication, the fact that the stratosphere is only actually a few miles away is a big deal. For U.S. companies, the stratosphere is certainly a lot closer than the Arctic Circle, and latency to and from data centers in the stratosphere will be a lot shorter than if those signals had to travel all the way to a colder climate. Now, we can probably all think of a thousand reasons why trying to float servers in the sky is a bad idea, and another thousand hurdles and challenges that they're going to need to overcome in order to do this. But for the sake of this discussion, let's assume that they've figured that all out. They've got servers, they're in the stratosphere, they've got power, they're secure, they're wirelessly communicating down to the ground or up to satellites, and they're ready to start processing workloads or serving requests. What happens then? Well, according to this research paper, TCP is going to have so much packet loss in the stratosphere that data integrity and throughput will be significantly affected. Before we go into the mechanisms of how exactly this packet loss is happening, let's review why this matters at all. If you're a technologist, you've undoubtedly heard of Qwik and HTTP/3. You're probably working with them as we speak, and you're likely aware that Qwik is built on datagrams, UDP, not TCP. And so you might be wondering, if HTTP/3 is the new standard, if Qwik is the new standard, why should we care about TCP at all? That's a HTTP/1, HTTP/2 problem, right? Well, sure, in the narrowest possible sense, the industry is moving away from HTTP and therefore TCP, but there are three big caveats. One, backwards compatibility is important. Two, think about the OSI model. HTTP is not the only thing in the application layer, and a lot of those other protocols still run on top of TCP. Three, despite there being a global push towards HTTP/3, adoption has recently been kind of flat. In the latest data from Cloudflare, 71.1% of the traffic they serve is still either HTTP/1 or HTTP/2, and therefore TCP. 1 year ago today, it was 71.7%. That's only a 0.6% difference over the course of a year. So like I said, the adoption curve for HTTP/3 seems to have more or less flattened out. All in all, the point is this. It looks like HTTP/1 and HTTP/2, and therefore TCP, are going to be with us for quite some time to come. And if a data center or compute platform wants to be able to support arbitrary use cases and offer compute primitives with standard functionality and do it from the stratosphere, they've got to support TCP, and TCP has to work. So, what's the problem? What's wrong with TCP in the stratosphere? The author of the paper argues two things. SGWs and SSWs both cause significant packet loss. Let's dive into those. One, SGWs, stratospheric gravity waves. This is a natural phenomenon where energy waves caused by things like mountain ridges interacting with wind move up and down in the stratosphere. The energy moving around in the stratosphere can cause particles to move, which disrupts the line of sight that wireless needs to work. And it can also cause particle accretion, which is basically big particles that can scatter or obstruct the wireless signals and attenuate the signals, which make the signals weaker. Two, SSWs, sudden stratospheric warming events, are another natural phenomenon. In short, the Earth isn't heated evenly. And when mountains and seas and air of different temperatures interact with the atmosphere, one of the things that can happen is that pockets of the stratosphere will warm up very suddenly. When this happens, it can change the density of the atmosphere, which affects the refractive index and can cause signals to bend or diffract. These temperature changes can also cause wind, which physically moves wireless receivers and transmitters and gets them misaligned. And it affects the pressure, which changes how quickly the signals are traveling through the medium, and that can cause timing discrepancies between a receiver and a transmitter. All in all, SSWs and SGWs mess up TCP. So, what's the author's solution, and does it actually work? Let's take a look. The author is proposing a new variant of TCP called TCP Stratos. I'll assume you already know how normal TCP works, so let's focus on how Stratos is different. One, Stratos integrates real-time meteorological data to predict and adapt to SGWs and SSWs. Two, it dynamically adjusts the congestion window size based on the current conditions. So if there are disturbances, the window gets smaller. Remember, a congestion window is just how many packets can be sent at a time right now. When things are bad, it sends fewer packets. When they're better, it speeds back up. Three, it proactively retransmits packets. That is, it anticipates the current level of packet loss and resends packets to make up for it. All of this is complemented and powered by machine learning algorithms on the ground that are continually modifying the operation and parameters of TCP Stratos in order to optimize for packet delivery and throughput from the remote data centers. So, how did this research go? Does it actually work? Well, since the researchers didn't have a way to test this in the real world, they built a simulation in MATLAB. That is, a virtual environment that would recreate the effects of SSWs and SGWs and disrupt packets appropriately. So I think it's fair to say that the results are only as good as the simulation, but assuming that the simulation is sound, they saw some impressive improvements. They tested TCP Stratos against standard TCP and against another improved variant as a control. Overall, TCP Stratos saw 7% to 23% less packet loss than TCP and 20% to 53% higher throughput than TCP. Stratos also outperformed the other TCP variant they were testing by about 4 to 12% in terms of packet loss and 40 to 70% in terms of throughput. Time will tell if these numbers hold up in real-world conditions, but I think it's a promising start at least. If you'd like to get the full breakdown of all the numbers and algorithms involved or to recreate the MATLAB simulations yourself, I'd recommend checking out the paper. It's very thorough. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Journal Club. I hope you enjoyed it. Malcolm Diggs, signing off. See you tomorrow.